Picture a world where costs are down, profits are up, and customers are clamoring at your door. You're listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. Our interviews with business owners, service providers, and area experts can teach you how to create a world of success and profitability. If you're looking for an attorney to assist in your business formation, employment agreements, or other legal business needs, contact Jordan Law at 407-906-5529. You can also reach us on the web at jordanlawfl.com. Jordan Law, we protect you and your business.
Hello and welcome to Let's Get Up to Business with Jordan Law. As you know, I'm Jordan Ostroff, your go-to business law and personal injury attorney here in Orlando, Central Florida. We have a phenomenal guest today. If you don't know him by name, you know him by company. Chris Hughes of Track Shack, the Track Shack, the go-to. So he's going to talk to us today about what's going on with Track Shack, how they've had to change, you know, some of the running series. But before we get into his brand new here from him, I want to let you all know we are rolling out a monthly subscription-based service for business owners where business owners will pay every month to have a certain amount of access and a certain amount of guaranteed things. It's something that's kind of come together during the COVID time to make sure that businesses have everything lined up from the articles of incorporation, customer service agreements, demand letters for non-payment, and all those things. So if that's something you're interested in, please reach out to us. We'll have that ready to go in a little bit more detail on the website, but we've been running it for some of our already existing clients already. So with that, though, enough about me. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man. Yeah, doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Good. I'm doing well, man. It's one of those times where I think if you really sit down and focus on the positives, we all have a lot more going for us than we think, and it's really easy to get caught up in you know, the million negative things. And obviously, you know, we've unfortunately talked to a number of people that have had family members pass away from everything. But in terms of sort of the new normal being there, you know, we've seen a lot of really interesting pivots from some of our clients and been doing a lot to, you know, keep our business going the same way that it's been.
For sure. Yeah, so, it's funny. Oh, no.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've a lot of conversations, like going back even to when we first, you know, locked down, like when we closed our doors down, I feel like my instinctual response when I'm asked how I'm doing is just to say, all right. Because, like, there's such an array, you know, and people are so all over the place. And you know, on the whole, honestly, we are doing well, but almost feels like disingenuous. You know, some people are really going through it right now. So it's like, all right, has kind of just become the default. Some days are good, some aren't as much. And we're bouncing and making it work. But I agree with you. This has been a time to adapt, you know, and those of us who have found ways to respond, it's not a perfect situation, but there's definitely positives to be found.
Yeah, so, you know, before we get into this a little bit more detail, you know, can you tell everybody about your backstory and the history of Track Track?
Sure, yeah. I mean, Track Track, we've been here since 1977. So actually in a little over a week, we will celebrate our 43rd year in business here in Orlando. Of those 43 years, gosh, my parents, my dad's been a partner almost from the beginning, but my parents bought it outright in 83. So that's like, I think 37 of those 43 years. It's been, you know, owned solely by my family. I was lucky enough to kind of get to grow up watching them, you know, build not only the store, but this amazing running community. I think that's something that makes us very unique is that the running community of Central Florida grew with the store. And so when something crazy like this happens, having those really deep roots, and it really is a special community, this running community of Central Florida. It's a group of people who have been willing to adapt to the changes we've had to make, who have supported us, you know, even when they couldn't shop in their normal way or things we have to tweak with events and things like that. And we can go more into detail on some of those changes. But yeah, you know, we've been your event headquarters for anything from 5K to the half marathon in terms of the races and events that we produce. And then as far as all of your running, walking apparel supplies, if you've never been in the store, that's our primary specialty. We do gait analysis, figure out the shoes that'll work best for you, but we'll walk you through a full experience. Any need you could have to be out there on the roads, we hopefully can have covered for you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, you kind of make it sound like it just happened, but I mean, you guys do. You've got the Track Shack race series. You guys have, you know, every year, what is it, four or six races?
It's a six race series. Yeah, there's really about 14 or 15 total that we produce when you add in the corporate 5K, things like Run for the Trees, but the series itself is six races. Yeah.
So, I mean, you guys have done a lot to build that community, and you've got, you know, there are teams and there are awards for running all of them and different medals and who best overall times and all that. Just a very interesting system you guys have put together.
Yeah, it's you know, again, we've been lucky to have kind of both the event production with the retail because the two have grown together and the event scene as that grew and people wanted races to participate in. You know, we've been on top of that from day one. So the two just sort of feed into each other, which is really nice. But yeah, there's the events, there's the store, and then there's our Track Shack Youth Foundation. And that's, you know, really our ultimate pride and joy. And any Track Shack produced event proceeds from that are going to go to the foundation. And that's going to apply with our virtual events that we've, and unfortunately the first half of the series, thus far, right, as far as we know, has gone to virtual. It's one of the more common phone calls we get now that is, it's a tough one to answer because people want to call up and they go, so the first three are virtual. Do you know about the ones in 2021? And I'm like, I wish I could give you some sort of answer, but I would be, you know, if I knew where we were going to be, then that would be my job. I would sell that information and I think be set for life if I could project.
Right.
I think in March, a lot of us didn't see us being where we are now, but we're ready. As soon as we get the green light to get a permit, we're ready to go live. We have some precautions in place if that can occur. But for now, the first half, yeah, unfortunately, of that six race series has gone to virtual. I say unfortunately, but we've done some really cool things with it. We're really trying to make it the, you know, the best virtual experience possible.
Yeah. So talk to me more about that. I mean, obviously, that's a humongous pivot to have to take.
It is. And you know, full disclosure, if you're looking on my business card, it says director of retail operations. So I'm not full in on the day-to-day of the event company. You know, we operate under one umbrella, but somewhat separate of each other. But in terms of some things we are doing, we're working with a company, and I want to get this right, but real-time race tracking, I believe, is what they're called, RTRT. So if you're doing the virtual run, but you've got a group of friends that you compete with, you know, and you usually go to the 5Ks with, you can run your 5K in different locations, but you can upload your times and your splits and still have, you know, this sort of long distance competition. You can meet up, obviously, and run it together as well. But from wherever you are, we do have a scoring system. Now, that's not going to count for the series scoring at the end of the six races. Our hope is that in 2021, we can do the other three live and the scoring will be based on those three. Because obviously, when people are submitting things digitally, it's not quite the same as who's physically crossing the line. But we have opened up that opportunity for that virtual action and kind of given as much of a true race feel as possible and lots of fun swag to go with it as well. So,
and so it's tracking who you're running the, you know, 5K or 10K or whatever the distance is on the race.
What's that?
So the system that you guys are working with, that company?
Yes, correct. Yeah. That's the RTRT, like I was saying, the real time race tracking. And I'm fairly certain you don't have to check into that, but if you want to have your results posted and feed live as you do it, you do have that opportunity. So, you know, you and your buddies can track each other while you do it, which is pretty cool. So, you know, kind of like our chip timing would be in the real sense of things this way. It's just on your phone when you're not doing it physically, and it's tracking it that way and syncing it to whatever sort of GPS device you use or your phone itself, if that's what you're using for GPS.
Gotcha. Right. So then talk to me about, you know, the retail store. What's been going on there with everything?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's been an interesting roller coaster. 7 weeks we were shut down. That's never ideal in any service industry, right? So, and it's one of those things. I'm sure that you guys kind of felt this way. I think any business owner or operator had this initial kind of thought of like, what can we do? What can't we, right? There was like kind of vague terminology of what's essential, what isn't. So for the first week or two, we didn't have anyone going in the store at all. We just wanted to protect our staff as much as possible. We actually shut down, you know, a week prior even to what the county wanted. We're just a high foot traffic store. We have an elderly customer base. It's a wide variety of customers we have, but we cater to a lot of elderly folks with foot issues and things like that. And so we just felt like that was kind of socially responsible, the thing to do. And then after a few weeks, you know, other friends of ours in the bike industry and stuff like that, we kind of tapped into what they were doing with curbside sales. And so we started offering that where, you know, we'd bag it up, leave it outside for people. They'd prepay, you know, over the phone or whatever method. And prior to that, the first few weeks, we got it opened up with some of our shoe brands where we could drop ship product directly to people's homes. And I was dependent on that. Yeah. So I was taking 10 straight hours, pretty much a day of phone calls of people telling me what shoe they want. I'd go to the brand website, I'd send it, then I'd follow up on a voicemail I missed while doing that. So when we could open the doors again, it was good psychologically for me because I was hearing phone calls in my sleep. And then the final week, we launched an online store, which in 42 years we'd never done, which people thought we were crazy, but we're such a service industry, right? And even when people call now, and if they're worried about coming in because some people still don't want to shop in public, you know, we've come up with some virtual fitting options. We tell them how to get to the online store, but we do suggest if they can to come in. And we're, you know, we take a lot of pride in the precautions we are doing in our store. But obviously being shut down, we had to adapt. We finally did launch it. So if you have your favorite shoe that you love, you can go to trackcheck.com, shop shoes if you'd rather have it delivered if you don't want to come in public. But since we have reopened, seats are all spaced 6 feet apart. Everyone in masks all day. We're sanitizing constantly. And just making it the safest experience possible to still offer our full service and truly, you know, taking a look at your feet and getting you the best shoe and every other piece of gear that you need.
Yeah, and I love that you talk about it as, you know, a service business, because I think most people are like, oh, you sell shoes, you sell a product. But those are the people that haven't been into Track Shack and gone through.
I appreciate that. It's we like to think we sell an experience, and it's good to hear that from other people. And you know, every single person in our store loves running. And so that enthusiasm is contagious. Someone comes in, and if they're doing their very first 5K, we're pumped to help them. If they're an elite runner looking to set a PR and a new pair of racing flats, we're pumped about that. And if it's a retiree who can't run and has a broken foot and the doc sent them in for shoes, we're happy to make them not hurt. It's a really rewarding business. You know, we sell shoes, but we're there to help people accomplish their goals. And it's really rewarding.
So walk me through, I mean, I think, you know, most of our listeners are true, you know, full service. So lawyers, accountants, et cetera. But walk me through, you know, how you all tacked on that experience, that service to the underlying product. Like, what was the methodology there?
Man, that's a good question. That was definitely, I was either a child or not existent when the initial kind of process came into place, right? Like I said, I was being there since 77. I was born in 90. So I've only been along for part of the ride. But we are part of a handful, really, of sort of the kind of OG, you know, specialty running stores. That late 70s time, that was that first running boom in the U.S. And you kind of saw it blow up again in the mid-2000s. Actually, weirdly, kind of around the time of the recession. It's interesting. Fitness activities and liquor stores tend to see the most success in business trainers that people want to exercise and they want to drink, right? Or one or the other.
Or one or the other.
Yeah, yes, exactly. One to earn the other. I think that's how you and I tend to do it, right, Jordan? So, yeah, I mean, that
if initial, I got before I ran, I might run better some days, depending upon.
Yeah, that initial fit process really, I guess, kind of evolved as a component of the industry, right? The running shoes in the 70s were pretty much all the same. There wasn't that much variation in support. So a lot of it started with the shoe vendors as they evolved their technology and they started catering to different foot types, whether it's that your arch is collapsing, you know, whatever might be going on that would put you in one shoe relative to the other. And they kind of educated stores. And then any running store you go into, it might be slightly unique, the general process, but on the whole, we're looking at your lower chain. It's from the waist down. And just examining everything from the rotation of your hips to your knees, through your ankles and down into the arches themselves. And what does your foot do? Is there things going on? And I say like the knees, like, are you knock-kneed? Are you bow-legged in ways that may track your feet inside or outside? And then try to find a shoe that caters best to that. And so it's, you know, like I got a bachelor's in political science. I always tell people I am by no means a physical therapist. I'm by no means a doctor, but we all have a general understanding of the lower chain kind of biomechanic reactions of a runner and how to just make that as smooth as possible.
Well, it's always amazing to me, like, you know, I know it's time for new shoes because I, don't get me wrong, I'm not a great runner regardless, but when it gets that much worse, I'm like, oh, okay, let me see if the, you know, a shoe issue. And then sure enough, after those first two or three runs to break in the next shoe, you lose so much of that random pain. So it's just, it's crazy to see what they've done.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, the cushioning technologies come a super long way. And everyone's got their own little hotspot, right? It might be your shins, it might be your knees, but when the shoes are shot, there's that one part of your body that talks to you and is like, hey man, it's time.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So is it, I mean, when there are new shoes that come out, I mean, is it for the most part, like every company has their lane for what kind of runner, kind of lower body position they're for, or they'll do different ones depending upon the type of shoe?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's more so that each brand caters to every foot type, but each brand can offer something different in regards to the shape, the width. So like some brands might be cut on more of a straight last and some people's feet, you know, kind of point a little straighter. Some may be inherently on a narrower last. Some brands like New Balance tends to run inherently a little wider. Brooks tends to have a bit of a curve to it. So, you know, I might pull a shoe, if I'm doing an evaluation on you, I might bring you, and those are the three I just kind of spit off the top of my head. So we'll roll with those. I might bring you an A6, a Brooks, and a New Balance to try on. And biomechanically, they will all accomplish the purpose that we're going for. And then from there, that's when it kind of comes into the subjectivity where you, as the runner, are going to test them all out and see what your body responds best to. And we're going to pick the first two or three options we bring based on, obviously, the biomechanics and then also, you know, foot shape, volume, which brands cater better to those things. And that's kind of part of our education with the staff. But I always tell folks if they're like torn between a couple of shoes and are asking if one's better, I compare it with, I'm like, it's test driving Ford to Chevy or Toyota to Honda, right? They're going to get you the same place. It's just which one you sort of feel smoother in for the journey.
So how frequently does somebody change what they need out of a shoe?
Another good question. Like in terms of just changing your shoes out, period, about 300 to 400 miles of use for your average, you know, running training shoe is kind of your time frame. It's hard to put it into like weeks or months because it's all by mileage and we all run different volumes of miles. But we do see it, like, so someone's a brand new runner and they come in and they might overpronate, they have some flexibility in their ankles, but they get really into it. They start running 30, 40 miles a week. They start doing track workouts. Well, their arch and ankles might actually get stronger. And so we do recommend at least every year, even if you're in a shoe that you've loved, and especially if that shoe updates, because they do update every year, do a reevaluation, have somebody double check, because something about your gait, you know, can change. So sometimes arches fall as you get older. So on the whole, biomechanics are pretty genetic and they don't change a lot, but there are certain subtle things that can be strengthened or, you know, via an injury may become weaker. So a yearly reevaluation is always a good idea.
Makes a lot of sense. All right. So, you know, tell me more about what you all have done to, you know, keep powering through. I mean, obviously the online store, that's got to be huge. And I know you're talking about safety precautions you all have done, but, you know, anything else that you've had to change, you know, training wise or interacting with client wise or, you know, what else?
Yeah, gosh, I mean, online was big. We definitely, I mean, we're not that we didn't clean the store all the time before. We did, I assure you. But you know, sanitization is an immediate priority. It's like where maybe it was like before, if it gets slow, we're going to restock product, right? Now it's like we're going to sanitize. And then when that's done, we're going to restock product. But the fit process hasn't changed. You know, the biggest change is kind of our SAD, because we are such a service industry. Like for the last 15 years of my life, I can never remember not starting and ending a transaction with a handshake, which seems so simple, but it's a handshake, it's eye contact, you know, makes it real and personal. So, you know, obviously we're not shaking hands now because that's not going to make most customers feel comfortable. Obviously it's not what we would want as well. We like to get in there. We like to tie your shoes for you. That's something we're not doing. So we're a little further apart, but the kind of in-depth nature of the fit process hasn't changed at all. Again, like I said, the seats are a little more spread out. We have our sign-in list when we're busy still. We do have a max capacity now, so we'll keep a person stationed at the door. And if we're at capacity, it's kind of one in, one out. But other than that, it's the same old Track Shack. I kind of wish I had a better answer, but in a way, it's like we're lucky that we didn't have to get too creative. People, you know, want the service that we provide. And shoot, especially with gyms closed, when we first reopened the door, people needed running shoes. We were kind of overwhelmed with the initial response. So,
well, and I wonder how many people were waiting for you guys to reopen in those 7 weeks and like knew they needed shoes.
Definitely a lot. Yeah. We were crazy busy the first month or two, and it's really gone in waves since. And it's one of those situations as like a resident citizen of Orlando, I'm really happy that people aren't shopping as much and they're staying home, you know? So hopefully we can kind of calm things down a little bit, because it was, you could immediately track it. As soon as the number started to spike, right, we could see our sales take a little bit of a hit, but we're still staying steady. People are still coming in and out the door every day, but you're absolutely right. I think there was people itching, and we were definitely taking a lot of calls, you know, when we were in the store doing the curbside, when are you going to open? And they were ready to get out there. So
do you all have any like definitive plans for stuff for the rest of the year, or really it's going to be, you know, once we get the all clear, then we're just going to transition back to the in-person races?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably going to have to be the latter, right? I mean, our move with the initial three was, you know, obviously a lot of our own internal meetings and concerns as to what we felt was safest for our participants, but also you're not going to get a permit for an event of over 1,000 people right now from the city. That's just not happening. Right. And so until the day that does happen, who knows? And then you've got a video going around yesterday of the mayor saying that bars may not open until there's a vaccine. So we would hope that wouldn't apply necessarily to us. And it's just a personal note, my friends that own bars, go there, guys. Total side note from what Jordan and I are talking about. But people are selling package at bars. Go buy your liquor there. Get your six packs, you know, maybe instead of the usual liquor store you might stop at, because that's the way you're going to keep your local bar scene alive on the back end of this. But yeah, as far as events, they are outside, right? More and more research seems to show that UV light exposure is, you know, pretty detrimental to this virus. So we feel that if people are spaced out and that if it's in the sunshine, you know, huddled at the start, that have masks on, but as they space out on the course, could take them off. We do think there's a way to run an event safely, but obviously not until the city thinks it's safe enough to give us a permit, and not until just on the surface, just even the comfortability that the majority of our participants would have with it. If we don't think they're ready, we wouldn't want to, you know, host something and ask people to come put themselves in a situation they may not feel comfortable with. So it's, that's a long way of saying we got no idea until we do know. Our plan is as soon as we can put one on live to do it.
Makes a lot of sense. And I think we'll get more, I feel like so many industries will get more guidance as we see what happens with football and college football. Like,
yeah, I agree.
That seems to be the thing coming down the pipe in the next 4 to 6 weeks that'll really drive a lot of this.
I'm very fascinated by that. I there's a part of me that thinks there probably won't be a season. There's obviously a big part of me that really wants there to be a season. It's crazy. I mean, that gets even into the nuance of if you're not allowing the student fans to be in there, how are you going to call the players student athletes if they have to play so that the school gets the TV money?
Right.
There's a lot going on.
That's true. And I mean, and obviously, you know, it's different because we've got basketball going on in our backyard, but that
right.
They get the bubble and a lot fewer people. It's going to be interesting to see for football. Yeah. You get more, but you're outside. And so maybe we'll, I don't know. We'll see what happens. So I really hope that we don't end up, you know, getting some of these races back together and ending up with the same problem that baseball has right now with every other team getting a flare up.
Yeah, we certainly wouldn't want that. And obviously, if that looked like it was even a possibility, we wouldn't be trying to force it or to do anything live. You know, we're going to go live when truly we feel like everyone is comfortable and everybody knows that it's safe. And sadly, to your point, we really don't know. But that is a good point. As some of these outdoor sports do begin, we'll hopefully get a better gauge on what type of effect that has with the spread. So.
All right, so with that, what can we all do for you? I mean, obviously, when we need new shoes, let's go to Track Shack, but what else can we be doing to support
when you need new shoes? Yeah, man, definitely come in for your shoes. I mean, shoot, even if you just need socks, you want a cool hat to run in, we've got you covered for, you know, every type of supply. Water bottle, it's crazy hot right now if you need to stay hydrated out there. But beyond that, if you're on the fence, say you signed up for some of our races, you don't know how you feel about the virtual option, or you haven't signed up yet, and you're on the fence, give the virtual a chance. We have a lot of cool stuff. Like I said, a lot of fun swag going with it. We've got that real-time race tracking option to give you some of that live race, you know, sense and feel still. And, you know, the same way I said, go get your booze orders filled at your local bar. Doing a virtual race, even if you prefer a physical with us, that's what's going to kind of lay the framework for the physical races to come back in full force when it's time. And that's going to support our youth foundation as well, which is really the most important thing. So.
So what's the next virtual race you have coming up?
Next virtual race will be next Saturday, actually, the 15th. That's our celebration of running. So that's the season kickoff every year. I hope next Saturday is the 15th. I hope I didn't say that date wrong. But
I think so.
So it's next Saturday, the 15th. And that will be, like I said earlier, that will be coinciding with our 43rd anniversary here in Central Florida. And if you're not on our mailing list, that race has always also coincided with a week-long sale in the store. We decided this year not to do that store-wide sale because, I mean, we get people jammed in like sardines in a normal year, and we just don't feel like that's right to the community. That's not safe. But we still want to give people an offering. We're going to run a special kind of online promo. We're being a little vague about it intentionally now, but it's absolutely going to be worth your while. So if you go to trackshack.com, you can opt into our mailing list on the bottom of the page, and you'll be getting a really nice promotional code for our online store at the end of next week as that race weekend wraps up on rolling into the following week.
All right, so trackshack.com.
Yes, sir. And that's where you can shop your shoes as well. So if you don't want to come into the store and there's some other gear, we've actually got some accessories up on there now. We've got some of our Aftershocks headphones, some of our socks. So you can definitely fill some of your needs from home, and we got free shipping on there for you.
Cool. So anything else you want to make sure that we cover before we wrap up here?
I feel pretty good. I know this isn't what we came to talk about, but I can't help but circle back to it. I serve on the Mills 50 board of directors. So beyond just my store, I'm so tapped into that Mills 50 community, and a lot of independent businesses are hurting. So beyond just Track Shack, I mean, obviously, please come support us. We love that. We appreciate the support. But if there's a place that you love in town, if you don't even need something from it, but you're, you know, in a position where, you know, you've got the means to go and support them and maybe, you know, spend a little more there than you normally would have, these places really, really need it. And it's the opening and closing, there hasn't been necessarily the clearest guidance, you know, in terms of reopening plans for places like bars. So you gotta kind of lean on the community. And that's one thing. I was born and raised here. I take a ton of pride in the sense of community Central Florida has. And so I would say just support your neighbors as much as you possibly can.
Love it. All right. So with that, and along those lines, you know, if you've got a business, not sure what's going on with reopening, you know, give us a call, 407-906-5529. That's part of what we put together, that monthly business plan for business owners, because everything seems to be changing every day, every week,
right,
every month. And, you know, at some point we'll get back to normal, but that day seems to be further and further away every day.
No kidding.
So then if we got anybody who has watched this show for the last 30 minutes and they take nothing else away from this, what's that one last, you know, that piece of advice, that takeaway, that information you want to get in front of as many business owners as possible?
From as many business owners as possible.
I mean, people too.
I hear you. For talking business owners, your people are your most valuable assets. Absolutely. You know, if you're struggling and wondering, you know, where you can and can't invest right now, invest in your best people. That'll always be, you know, in your best long-term interest. And man, just be in this together. If you've got neighboring businesses that you don't normally talk to or haven't been super close in the past, walk over, knock on their door, ask how you can help each other. And you know, it's cool in a digital world like this how we can connect. And I know we're all not necessarily supposed to be doing much face to face, but you know, I think one thing about this is it has really forced a sense of community. When I go out and I run, I see the whole neighborhood out there. I mean, the weather was better. You saw it a little bit more. People aren't as much now, but that was one thing that was cool, was to see every family in the neighborhood all outside, everybody wave and being friendly. Do the same thing with your business neighbors. Find out how you can help. And if you've never gone for a run and you're stressed out right now, you may be surprised how much better you feel afterwards. So try running. That would be my advice for everybody. Or at least a brisk walk.
It's a lot safer way to get endorphins than, you know, hard drugs and alcohol. So
absolutely. Absolutely. A little cheaper too.
It's very true. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And obviously if anything else comes up, just let us know. We're happy to help.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Jordan.
You've been listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast and would consider sharing the show. We would also love an honest 5-star review through iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcatcher you use. If you are interested in being a guest of the podcast, please contact producer Mark through email at mark@jordanlawfl.com. Use the subject line podcast guest in your email. Thank you. We look forward to speaking to you again soon.